Quiet, please.
You're listening to Birdies and Bogeys, hosted by Jordan Bloxham and Weston Mon, bringing you golf's week in review, recapping your favorite tournaments with professional insight from their perspective. Now, quiet, please. Here's your hosts, Jordan and Weston.
Weston.
Jordan.
How are you? We finally got together this week.
Yep.
A little late.
A little late. Better late than never.
Yeah. You guys need this info. And we're doing it during the right after the first round of the Honda Classic. But I was looking at the Honda, and it's kind of the field has gone downhill from recent years. So yeah, it's no big deal. I mean, when you have Billy Horschel leading a tournament and some dude I have no clue who he is. We're good. Joseph Bramlett. You probably have heard that name, but then you've got Pearson Cootie. Pearson Cootie could be a really good player. He's just first year out of Texas, so he could be really good. But yeah, I'm kidding, but I don't know why it was. I didn't watch it today. But it's been suspended. Like, they need to start getting these in. I don't know whether it was weather, because it could be weather. We did have to delay recording on Tuesday night because it took you over an hour to probably do a 20-minute drive.
25-minute drive. Took about an hour. And yeah, it was bad. It was really bad. Your Alexa pops up and it's like, winter storm warning. You're going to get 12 inches in 24 hours. And they didn't lie.
No. Some places, west end of the Salt Lake Valley, they got 2.5 feet.
Yeah.
It's late February. Stop already. That's all I got to say.
I have to say. 2 days ago, I was like, whoa.
Oh, maybe.
It's like 41. Is this like,
yeah,
spring happening?
My parents barely had little skips here and there where it was still in the shade. Now they've got 2.5 feet in their backyard.
Oh, dude, it is brutal.
So who knows when we're going to get any golf in the northern part of Utah. Not anytime soon.
Just digital golf.
Well, and considering it was snowing in southern Utah
today,
that doesn't bode well either.
Yeah, we need to plan driver testing 2023.
For sure. Let's get to it. RIV last week, the Genesis Open, hosted by Eldrick Tiger Woods.
Yes.
Rahm just continued. Hot streak central.
Oh my gosh.
And I love it because this comes not too long after one Brandel Chambly said, well, the reason that John Rahm cannot be a good, consistent player is because he's not a good iron player. And I believe he's won 3 times this year.
This is the stat of the year, by the way. And this is why it's so monumental, because it's taken over 35 years for it to be achieved again. This is the fastest a player has had 3 wins on the PGA Tour since Johnny Miller in 1975.
So that's just from the start of the year since, right? It's like from January 1.
Yeah.
Because you can't do it as like the season, because
the season's waxed.
Jacked right now.
But I mean, think about that. For the past 35 years, all the greats, we're talking Watson and even Nicholas still playing during the 70s, Trevino in the 70s, and then all the greats from the 80s, Curtis Price and Nick Faldo and Greg Norman, Craig Stadler, and then the 90s, you know, Davis Love and Tiger and Phil, all these marquee players, and nobody has won this many tournaments this quickly since Johnny Miller did it. So
crazy.
I think his irons are working.
So let's just look at his, so John Rahm, and this is where Brandon Chambly can just pound sand. Like he has some good takes every once in a while, but overall he is a complete friggin' idiot. Like legit. Like I discount 98% of what comes out of that guy's mouth. Right? So he's John Rahm, and this happened right in the middle, right? This was at the American Express or the Century, I can't remember when it was that it was said, or it was at the Farmer, I can't remember when it was said, right? But so he said this somewhere in the middle of this streak of the 2022-23 season. So the CJ Cup, T4, the Hero Warrior Challenge, I don't know why they have that as a part of the season because it's not a thing, T8, but that's out of 30 guys, whatever. So we'll scrub that one. But then you go to the Tournament Champions, win. American Express, win. Farmers Insurance, win. Phoenix Open, third. Genesis, win.
That's pretty impressive.
He hasn't finished outside the top 10 this entire season.
No.
And the word, I've said, there's some things that John Rahm does in his actions on the course that I'm not a huge fan of. This guy is the only guy that makes sense on the entire PGA Tour right now when it comes to LIV. Like, I've heard two sound bites of him, and the latest one was, hey, it's not right for me now. Like, he does not write it off. But he says, look, right, I understand why they went. Like, they should be playing. They should do, like, only guy that's making sense.
No, he's great. He's freaking great. He's a great iron player. And the stats this week proved it. He was number one in strokes gained on approach, hitting into the greens at Riviera, which were rock hard.
Dude, like, the course was phenomenal. Like, yeah, exactly how it needs to be played.
Totally.
Right? Because they didn't run, like, they were rolling out, but they weren't, like, running out in the fairways. And then the greens were firm. You didn't see guys spinning it back, and you're like, oh, why can't this be every week?
Yeah. No, it was really good because the course setup, you never want to mess it up by giving hard fairways and soft greens.
Right.
Then we're going to shoot 39 under. But if you go soft fairways and hard greens, you now create a very difficult golf course. And that course isn't necessarily long. I mean, a lot of the news was, how can you drive this par four? So when you consider that, you really got to protect yourself on short courses with hard greens. And that's okay, because you may have a wedge in your hand.
Right.
And you should be flighting it high to stop it quick. And that's exactly what they did. It really was a joy to watch. And the guys that played well, played really well. And then the guys that didn't, like, it really got to them. It wasn't like everybody was 10 under and better. It was like 17 under and then, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he has some good rounds. He goes 65, 68. And, like, his strokes gained on the green. Or around the green, he didn't. His putting, he gained a ton.
Oh, yeah.
Like a ton. So he's there, but so this is where, like I said, the approach shot to the greens. Oh my goodness. Is he a good iron player?
He was the best iron player.
The best iron player. That's what I say. He's just, yeah, we're going to get off that because I can't stand talking about him. There's another guy that we'll talk about a little later that I think needs to be just shut up as well.
Wait, both these guys are in the media. That's weird.
Yeah. Weird.
Journalism.
But is it a coincidence that Riv was set up like this and the host was Tiger Woods? Oh. He had to have something to, right? He knows he's playing. He's hosting the tournament. My guess is he had some say in the setup of this course.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. I think if anything, it's more for him in preparation to play the US Open. You know, yeah. So these firm greens at Riviera, I'm sure we're gonna see some of the same stuff at LA Country Club.
This is very true. So, but I like it. I mean, this is to me, right? Not just being able to just throw darts. Yeah. Right. You actually have to plan a shot.
Yeah.
So when you look at the leaderboard, right? And this is, so you got guys who hit really good iron shots, right? John Rahm, Max Homa, Patrick Hanley, Will Zalatoris, Keith Mitchell, which I also think is a pretty good iron player, Colin Morikawa, Sahith Theegala, which is with all his theatrics, he's still, it's a pretty good there. Matt Kuchar, where is his, like, what would you say was strength of his game?
Irons.
Irons. Jason Day, right? So there's a lot of guys up there at the top that are pretty good ball strikers.
Iron players. Yeah, every single one of them. Like, almost all of them play blades. And you know the ball strikers are the bladers. So.
So it's, like I said, it just, you could set up every course this way. Right.
Yeah.
Barring weather, right? If it rains, right, you're kind of at the mercy of that. But if you have the time, why are you not setting it up where, like you put it, just take that little extra little bit of water that you're putting on the greens. And if anything, don't.
Yeah.
And if you need to, just give it to the rough and the fairways a little bit. Just
totally.
Just move that dispersion around.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it was really fair. And I thought the best player won this week for sure. And I wouldn't change anything about it. So,
no, it was good. The one thing that I would change is the host cost me a soda.
Oh, all $3 right there.
No, it was like I said, in. he did kind of what I thought, but I thought it was just going to be on the other side of that line at the end of day two.
So yeah, so the bet was Tiger makes a cut and then I get a soda, and yeah. Tiger misses the cut, you get a soda.
Yeah,
and it was close. I mean, I mean, that's why the bet was on the cut line.
Yeah.
And it turns out he made it on
the cut line. Yeah.
So a one stroke difference between sodas for you and sodas for me. But, you know, what were we expecting? We were expecting a Tiger to, you know, barely make the cut and not necessarily be a threat in the tournament by any means. But
right.
Turns out, you know, out of 140 players, he's in the top half of that, even in his condition, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I think he's figured. And the one thing that I will say is, and if he has that, he's figured out a way, because he's figured out a way to get some speed too. Like,
oh,
yeah, which caused a little bit of controversy.
Controversy, yeah. And let's talk about it. So, guys will be guys.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily make it right, but guys are going to be guys.
You don't have to soften it. There was nothing wrong with this.
So Tiger hits his drive past JT, the young buck that he is and the half a broken Tiger that he is, hits it by him. And then as a gift, as a token of the distance between Tiger's ball and his, he gave him a Tampax tampon.
And like
it was classic. I laughed. Right. And so a lot of people were offended. The best thing I saw was from the golf douchebag Instagram account. Well, said that he signed a seven-figure deal with Tampax. Right.
And it's there, and it's not. But you know, you're gonna be joking around, right? And it's okay to joke every once in a while, right? Jokes, that's the reason that they're right. That's a joke.
It's a joke. All jokes can be offensive.
Yes.
And that's just the right. If you choose to be offended.
Yes. So. And that's right. They chose to be offended.
Yeah.
But I thought it was, like I said, no big deal. Something that you do. And you know, then he apologized, which I didn't think he had to. But to think that it wasn't going to get caught on camera, dude had 7 billion cameras on him the whole time.
Yeah, it did require a pretty special camera angle and some hardcore sleuthing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was clutch, you know, and
I'm fine with it. I'm totally fine with it.
I mean, if you've been with the boys, granted, they're not called the lady tees, they're called the red tees, but you duff your drive and you don't make it past the red tee box.
Drop your drawers.
it's part of like the golf culture.
Right? And like stuff that's done in between guys and ladies, whatever you say, you do some stuff when you're with the ladies that you wouldn't say in mixed company. Same with us guys, right? There's some stuff that we say in mixed company or in with the guys that's doesn't necessarily get said in mixed company.
Yeah.
So
is what it is. You know, if you found it funny, good for you. If you didn't, good for you.
Yeah. Who cares?
Whatever.
Move on.
So move on.
Yeah. But the guy who came in second, and I will say this, it would have put a little bit of pressure on Rom if he would have made the last chip, but Max Homa, I mean, gave it a run.
Yeah. He played some dang good golf.
He played some really good golf. Like I said, about hold out on 18. But I really think 17 is kind of the thing that doomed him when he hit it in the bunker and wasn't able to get it out. I mean, he had a great shot, about hold it out of that one. But
yeah.
And my question is because he's been on a little bit of a heater over the last 2 years, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he has, you know, I think he's won the most tournaments in the last 2 years. Maybe he's tied with Jon Rahm right now, but
yeah, after this. Yeah.
Well,
and Jon Rahm should have one more, but
he's destroying all the courses in California.
Oh yeah.
So his stretch from 2021 went the Genesis Invitational, which was there at Riviera, mm-hmm. then the Fortinet Championship in Napa Valley, and then the Farmers Insurance Open, and then the Fortinet Championship again this year. So he's won 4 times in California, and he almost got it done again here.
Yeah.
Like he was the best putter on the greens, had the highest strokes gained stat. And when you're putting like that at Riviera, there's a good chance you're going to get close to winning or win it.
Yeah. Like I said, he's been playing pretty good lately. So my question to you, I'll have you answer this. Is he becoming a superstar?
Not yet. He's incredibly marketable just because of his Twitter shenanigans, you know, rate my swing stuff.
Yeah. His early Twitter days, which is what he was known for. And then he decided to knock that off. And so is this a going correlation? Basically, when he said, I'm going to stop doing the Twitter, you know, roast my swing stuff.
Yeah.
He's won like 5 times since.
Yeah. If you focus on what you want to do, then that becomes a very, very achievable goal. I mean, I think Tiger is the biggest factor in that. Like, people always say, like, oh, yeah, Tiger was good, but people didn't realize that he worked 3 times harder than anybody else.
It's weird that happens, right?
The correlation is unbelievable. Same thing with Kobe Bryant. You know, you hear about him waking up at 3 a.m. He's getting 2 practices in before 2 guys, 4 other players even touch the floor.
Yeah.
And he's like, you'll just out practice everybody. And so we know that's what Tiger did. But Yeah, maybe there is correlation. He just got serious and started playing golf. But is he a superstar? I won't give it to him yet. I wouldn't even consider Adam Scott a superstar. He's kind of same boat. He's like very marketable, handsome dude, amazing golf swing, very talented, won one major. He's like on the cusp of being important, right? But it's when a guy wins like multiple majors
Is that
and
superstar? Is that where you cut the
20
line?
plus, I would say
They have
20.
to. I said, so if Max Homa wins a major this year, does that put him with where he's been the last couple of years in his wins? Does that put
It
him
gets him.
close?
No,
Not
because
close?
to me, there's like a dominance and fear, right? Like, I'd say Jon Rahm is way closer to getting superstar status.
So you don't
And
even
when
think
he
Rom's
wins,
there yet.
no, he's got one major and nine other wins. So he's at 10. He doesn't even scratch the top 50, like all time PGA Tour players, like, period. He's not even in the top 50. So when you think about like superstar, like that's Tiger, that's Jack, that's Snead. I mean, guys that have 30 plus wins on tour, that's like superstar, right?
So you don't even like somebody like Rory, not there yet. Justin
Rory,
Thomas, not there yet. DJ, not there
yeah,
yet.
Rory and DJ are the closest to superstar
Okay.
status. But they're
Is
DJ's
it?
got 25 wins on the tour plus other tour wins, and Rory's almost there too, or right there. But
Okay.
again,
Does superstar come in context of time, though? Right? Is he a superstar for his time? Right? Because if you do it over the whole time, yeah, they may or not be like top echelon, but to me, is it superstar for a period? Right? Is he becoming a superstar for the
I would
2020s?
say, yeah, he's getting a face for tour. And keep in mind, he has the same amount of wins on the tour as Ricky Fowler. And Ricky Fowler is nowhere close to being a superstar, but he's incredibly marketable. I think he's a star, but like, I don't know, superstar, like I don't throw around lightly.
You don't throw it's reserved for the highest of quality. Okay. That makes sense. I think we're mixing in semantics, right? I'm like, okay, I said, is he becoming a superstar? And I was more in the context of in this time right now. Is he
Yeah.
becoming right in this stretch?
I'd say he's the PGA Tour will probably start using him as a headliner for tour
Yes.
events this year. So the PGA Tour will force his name in just because of his success and his record. But Tiger will also be a headliner, and he hasn't even come close to winning as many tournaments as Max Homa has in the past 4 years. So there's that.
Earn
Yeah.
status.
Yeah.
That's your highest of quality.
Right.
Oh, but now into the other tour that you were talking about.
Oh yeah, the other chore. Where are the
The other
people from the
tour.
chore that don't really mean anything?
But new players, right? Maybe not as blockbuster, but some quality for the LIV tour, which I started to think about it. And I guess they were did it. I looked at it a little bit because I just trying to read on like stuff about the depositions, I guess. They were dealt a blow because they could add the fund and the fund's founder or whatever. I can't remember exactly how
Yeah.
they were able to name them in the suit, which they were trying to get, but whatever. So not as kind of blockbuster and everything, but to my other point, I don't know that they'll ever get a fair shake with how they've been demonized within the media.
Yeah.
I don't know that, especially in the like US court or UK court with their bias, is going to shake him fair, but I don't know. We'll see. You're supposed to be impartial, right? And look at the the facts of the case. So we'll see whether that does. But they did bring some new players on. Thomas Peters and Mito Pereira being kind of the headliners of that. But they brought over, you know, Sebastian Munoz, Dean Burmester, that one not there. Danny Lee, who was has had some injuries, but was playing really well there for a little bit. And then Brendan Steele, who's not like top echelon, but has been out there for a little bit. So like I say, not the splash going into this week like they've had before. And, you know, people are saying there was delays in the, like the schedule and all that, you know, the teams and everything. And I'm like, well, yeah, the teams are going to be what they are. And I think they probably had the teams in place, because I think before they were doing it, like stuff was leaking out with players from different teams that they hadn't announced, which some of those did change around a little bit. Four Aces no longer has Taylor Gooch. They swapped him out for somebody, but Taylor Gooch is on. Taylor went to another team on that. And then some of the team names changed. Bubba was able to select his team name and went with like it's the something goats. Oh, let me look at it again. The range goats. Range goats. But yeah, I think who did they replace him with? Oh, Peter Uihlein is now that. And I wonder if some of that is like, well, you guys need to like get rid of Taylor Gooch, because you guys have like three of the top 10, 12 players on the tour right now. So we gotta make something happen. And then Taylor Gooch went to another team. I'm not quite sure on there, but I can tell you really quick. He went to he's with Bubba now as a range goat.
Yeah.
So like I said, they're doing some things, and this next piece of it, right? DJ and Sergio leave Adidas. Bryson was seen in the Qatar, which is Travis Matthews' shoe, and was hitting I-230 irons.
Yeah, he had a full set of single length ping irons and TaylorMade Stealth 2 driver. So
even though nothing's official, because nothing has come out, I'm pretty sure that Bryson and Gobert Puma have cut ties.
And that's the nature of the beast. And I think it's really the PGA Tour that put them in a hard spot, because they have contracts with the tour to support tour players and be on premise. And the PGA Tour may have had an undisclosed rule. If you support any LIV player, you can't come to our tour stop.
So is it undisclosed or an unwritten?
Unwritten? I just know. That's all I can say. Sources. But very PGA Tour took the LIV thing very aggressively, as we're all familiar with. And I think that was part of that aggressive behavior. And so you saw a lot of these people not being headlined on golf club websites anymore. Like DJ won that LIV tournament. There wasn't one thing on TaylorMade about DJ winning it. Nothing.
Which is kind of crazy, right? So now you're allowing the tour to dictate your marketing.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what's happening. So it's it sucks, but for the live players, I don't think they really cared because they were just like, I just signed a contract to play that was 50x whatever you were going to pay me
Yeah.
anyways.
Well, and they and you know
Good.
DJ and it's in the announcement from Adidas, it was mutually going. But I hey, read something pretty interesting about this though, that the reason that it is because they don't really care because they're all going to be wearing team branded
Yeah, a tire.
gear, and which supposedly that you're going to see more matching apparel selections
Yeah.
going into this week. So
Well, I know they
that could
got
be
matching staff
possible.
bags, which is pretty cool. I didn't see any golf club, on their staff bags. And so, I mean, the reality is like, this is just a completely different product. And the further it comes along, it's very much unlike the PGA Tour. So I personally don't see them as a competitor. I just see it as a completely different product.
Yeah, could
The
be.
game of golf entertained and presented in a way you've never seen it.
Yeah, which is kind of what that whatever league. Like I said, the funny thing about it is I still don't remember the name of virtual league, whatever they're going to call it.
The Tomorrow Tour.
Yeah, that. So it's like, all right. It is something different, right? Which it's, I mean, obviously they're competing on some sense because they're a golf tour and that's, the product, but it's at the same time, right? DP
Yeah.
tour is, Asian tour is, right? Theoretically, the Korn Ferry is a competing tour, even though they're owned. So they keep them down a little bit. DP World Tour, what did they do when they thought they were getting too big? They tried to squash them, right?
Yep.
When they started getting that thing, they started doing things to appeal to the DP World Tour players so that they could go over there. They just have squashed any threat that has ever come their way, the PGA Tour has. And guess what they couldn't do with this league? They couldn't squash them, right? They couldn't,
They tried.
they right, but they knew that they couldn't come in and do what they did to the DP Tour and just start to pick them away, right?
Yeah.
Pick them away little by little by offering what?
All money.
What? More money, right? And no matter what, right? People's like, oh, I want to play with the best. Yes, but part of that playing with the best is you wanted to get over there because you would make more money, because if all those guys on the European tour back in the day would have stayed on the European tour, it would have been a pretty equal league or tour,
Yeah.
right? If you had the guys that were playing on the European tour and the guys that were playing on the PGA tour, if they stayed completely separate, right? If all the Euros stayed in Europe and all, right, everybody that was here was playing here, it would be a fairly evenly matched tour.
Yeah.
But what did the PGA Tour have that they could offer?
My money.
They could more offer more money. So, like I said,
Yeah.
it's done in a different way. But it's the same, right? If the LIV Tour can function and be relevant for, right, and grow. They have to grow, obviously. But if they're 50 years down the road, getting still keeping and getting elite level players, you're going to have the same, right? Now you're building a legacy on that tour.
Yeah.
I mean, just saying.
I mean, you break it down. The reality is, athletes are entertainers.
Yep.
And so if you're getting paid to entertain, good for you.
Entertain. Yep. Entertain. And you should get paid for entertaining.
So anyways, good and interesting stuff. But yeah, I mean, they're making some good cash. They split it with all their sponsors. Nobody's crying about it.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're getting ready for the Mayakoba.
Yeah.
And free broadcasting to all through the CW apps. So.
Yeah. And we will see whether, right. It'll be interesting. I'm interested to watch it a little bit to see if it's playing any different, right. The course conditions and see where they end up as far as score wise and everything goes.
Yeah. I would be surprised. I'm expecting to be better entertained through this event and product, given the new TV contract, mm-hmm. given the success first year. They'll probably have more cameras on the course. Faraday said his goal is to get at least one fan upset this every week.
If not more.
So honestly, it's a product and they're doing what they can to make it more entertaining.
Yes.
And the beauty of it is it is the easiest golf to consume, period, because everybody's playing golf at the same time.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty spectacular. But
you can argue with like the format of it, right? With the shotgun start, or it's only 48 players, or you know, it's only 54 holes. But yes, right? You've got a 4-hour block that you can watch every single player live during that 4 hours.
Totally.
But in this one is new to me, so we'll see how the CV covered it. But you said they got a major sponsor. I did not see this.
Yeah, their first. So LIV got a major sponsor for the tournament as a whole, and the company is Easy Post. They're in logistics and commerce, and that's a big deal because PGA Tour has a major sponsor in FedEx Cup, right? Or in other aspects. But I'm sure LIV Golf is going to get major sponsors for each tournament, but also a tour sponsor in Easy Post. So when you see a company invest that kind of money into a tour and that kind of exposure, they have brilliant marketing minds that are doing analysis on these potential marketing opportunities to see if it's worthwhile. And clearly they found a fit.
Like I said, I think, like I said, Norman hasn't made, right? And there's some, I'm sure he's had some businesses fail, but he hasn't become a billionaire, you know, because he's Australian, right?
Yeah.
It's not for nothing. He does have a, does have something, right, of a business mind, because he's created a lot of very successful companies. Said, I'm sure there's some of those that have failed, right? But as with any successful business person, they've had some businesses that haven't gone as expected. So I think that's going to be the first in the line of it. And I was actually just on there and it looks like they're doing an app. LIV Golf just announced an app so that everybody can watch it on the app as well, it looks like. So they're moving up, and you know, once you start getting into the app store, right, there's some things that can happen, right? If you're really bad, then you don't even get the app store. You get threatened to get taken off of those platforms. So like I said, I think things are moving in the right direction. As much as some people would rather it not, right?
Yeah.
There's some things and I think Phil said it right. He's like, yeah, there's some some things, but golf has done some amazing things, has brought. So maybe it's, you know, this, the game of golf will, because of this, even though, right, may not, right, definitely don't agree with murder.
Yeah. Right.
But good things happen from maybe not the what you feel are the greatest places. And so
yeah,
it'll be interesting. And I can't remember exactly how I framed it, but it was like, you know, I think we can do some great things and some really good things out of this.
Yeah. It'll be good. But yeah, I think the last bit of LIV news that's the most notable, at least came out this week, is over the course of this LIV and PGA Tour debacle, the four majors have now come out saying that all eligible golfers from either the PGA Tour or LIV or anywhere,
yep,
are eligible. If they've earned a way to play, they will play. And right, to me, that, like, it just solidifies how great the majors really are.
Yes.
You know, it's, like I said, it's just the best are going to be there. And that's what I'm excited about.
I mean, like I said, if you, right, and my guess is their bet is, and if it's the case, and if they know something, because my guess is the majors or those in charge of the majors, some of those are on the governing body of the OWGR, right? If, and this is where, right, if you're going to be a conspiracy theorist and you're going to be, you're right, but if it ever comes out that those guys were like, don't worry, LIV players are never going to get, LIV Tour is never going to get world ranking points. So eventually these guys are going to fall and you won't have to worry about it, right? Endure a couple of years, right? And that's not necessarily because you have past champions that are exempt for life.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, maybe we'll have to do with one or two after a few years. But
yep,
just don't worry. We're not going to, this isn't going to be a big topic in a few years. Just hang with us. Right. Is there collusion there? Well, if they're on the board and the governing bodies that are making those decisions about world ranking points, then yeah, there would be a huge case for collusions.
Yeah.
Costing these players.
It's not pretty. And we know the system needs to be redone, but at the same time, it is a different event. It's,
yes,
I think if those players need, really want some world ranking points, it's one, participate in the majors, get in there, do well, get some, yeah, points, and play some other tournaments that they have exemption into, like some of the Asian tour events.
Yeah.
But, you know, a guy like DJ, he's just like, okay, I don't care, because he's going to go to the Masters every year and whatever. But, you know, for somebody like Bryson who wants to get back to Augusta, that's going to be hard. He's going to have to do some stuff to get there and qualify somehow.
Yeah. Is he not eligible this year?
I don't know what his status is with Augusta, but here's a sticky situation. When you win a major, you get years exemption on the tour. I think it's like 5 years. You get exempt 5 years on the tour.
5 years on the tour.
So it's like, what if DJ wins Masters again? And
he just keeps renewing his PGA Tour status. But I think he's, once you get over a certain amount, you have lifetime exemption, right?
He has lifetime exempt once you win over 20 PGA Tour events. But at the same time, you maintain that status if you abide by the PGA Tour bylaws.
And yeah. So once he went to live, they basically gave him the boot.
Yeah. I wonder, I mean, I don't, it is whatever it is, but yes. And I think Bryson would still be eligible because doesn't the U.S. Open champ for so many years get exemptions yeah. into those?
5 years exemption. So, yeah, he's, I think he has a couple more.
Yeah, I think he still has at least this one. But, yeah, it's how it should be, right? If you're eligible, if you have qualified to play, you should play.
Yeah, I think it's great.
In these, because they're not ran, they're not a competing tour.
No. Right?
They are their own. Each one is their own separate entity. Right?
Yeah.
So, it's not a competing tour. So, and you want the best players to play in it. So, everybody that's met the qualifications should be eligible to play. And that's how I'll always think about it. I guess it's not really the last bit of news because the other guy that I think is just he.
So wait. Let's tee this up. Let's tee this up. So if there were two guys in golf media that you wanted to punch square in the nose, who are they?
Well, that's Brandel Chambly and after this last year, Alan Shipnick. I'm not gonna say what you called him earlier. or what I heard you call him.
That was
a ship Richard.
A shipwreck. That's what I call it. No.
Yeah, a ship Richard.
But it's hard to say that name. That's all I'm gonna say. But no, he's stirred up a lot of garbage. He was behind the whole Phil Mickelson, you know, fiasco, and the guy's just kind of a typical
and
journalist these days.
And has done nothing but like try to just get he is like, ooh, this live tour is my ticket. Right. And so, I mean, we're talking in reference to him right now because he said,
garbage.
Oh, Brooks, you know, Brooks wants to get back on the tour. He's regretting his decision. I'm like, I don't think so.
No, right? Unfounded
speculation.
Yeah.
Unnamed sources.
But that's it. I think journalists should be reporting actual news instead of being opinion pieces. So
yes, and like I said, and Brooks, right? I'm sure some of these guys are like, man, did I make the right decision? But I think that lasts for about a second.
Yeah.
I think they're right. They made the decision. Some of these guys took some time. Some of these guys got thrown a whole bunch of money. And if anybody that's been there that's been offered, and it would be interesting, and they probably can't do it for legal reasons, who they've offered, who they haven't offered, right? Or who they've offered to and the amounts, right? If you want to really even there, right? Have Liv put it to any of these guys. You know, some of the guys who have supposedly turned it down, like Tiger, my guess is Rory turned it down. Yeah. But some of these guys that whether they're getting paid by the PGA Tour in alternate means is the conversation, no debate that we could have. But anybody my guess is that's been offered a significant amount of money. Would have taken it, or a majority of them, right? Some guys are like, no, I want to play on this tour. I don't want to deal with that. Whatever.
Yeah.
But my guess is the ones that it made their life significantly better, like generational wealth type deal, probably took it.
Probably.
But yeah, and this next fact, because it's getting into Tiger time a little bit.
Tiger time.
A little bit more Tiger time from the earlier. I commented this to my wife, actually, and I'm like, huh, that's interesting. Tiger launches his new shoe that he doesn't wear.
Yeah, well, it was a re-release. Re-release. So it wasn't even a new design. It's
But it didn't, they call them the 2023s, though.
No, I'm pretty sure it's a 13s. No,
it's the 2023s.
Going to Nike.com. Hold on. I think they sold out. No, they call them the Woods TW13s.
Did they call them the 13s?
Yeah. Reissue.
I swear.
Well, all I know is like golf Instagram world blew it up. Everybody jumped on that like it was the coolest fad ever.
Well, they're not on Nike.com anymore.
I'm looking at them.
Are you?
Yeah, I just wanted to men's golf and TW13's front page. So apparently they were a super popular shoe back in the day. Tiger didn't wear them for very long, to be honest. He wanted something with more stability. But the golfing public liked them in general. I think it was really the first segue into a lot of these people wearing kind of, you know, the Nike Air Maxes, the very comfortable running style or freestyle type of shoe.
Right.
But yeah, he's wearing FootJoy at the Riviera. And he's releasing the TW13s. That is the weirdest relationship I have ever seen from a business standpoint.
But the thing that happens, though, is they know that even though they're releasing a shoe that he doesn't wear, it is like he is doing just as much for Nike right now, wearing FootJoy shoes that he chooses to wear as he would if he was wearing the shoes.
I've said this before and I'll just say it again, but Nike has the resources to digitally map his foot, build him a shoe to his exact specifications in like a 48-hour turnaround, like design, build, ship in like 2 days. They literally have those resources. It's quite amazing. And so the fact that Tiger's wearing FootJoys just baffles me.
Yeah. Baffles. It is the craziest thing that you will.
Like, why couldn't Tiger just say, see these shoes? Make me a shoe like this, but put my logo on it. Done. Stamped. Science delivered.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
So
I don't know. They're just like, weird. Oh, we don't need to. And he's like, okay, then I'll just wear the FootJoys. They're the My Joy. What is no? They're the Dry Joys, I think.
Yeah, they're the high end. Really nice.
But
yeah, in other equipment news for Tiger, he is now the face of Bridgestone Golf, and he played the Tour BX ball, the slightly less spinny ball, and he was cooking it past those dudes. So the ball is optimized for distance. He was hitting it past Rory and JT on some occasions, and really did hit the ball pretty far out there. And so his ball speed numbers were exceptional. I don't think he dipped below 175 like the whole week off the tee.
It was pretty impressive. So my question
that's
is,
fast.
My question is did he switch to that ball because now that he's generating this speed and how he's generating this speed, is it he can't control the spin as much as he used to be able to, because now to generate the speed that he does, he has to do it.
That's an interesting proposition, because if you think about what your lower body does in the swing, as I try and control spin and manipulate stuff, I will move my center of gravity more forward or maybe more hang back to produce different types of flights and trajectories. And it's not just a simple, here's my weight, and then this is where it goes at the end of the swing. Like when you're out there hitting shots, you're doing things way different than you would do at the driving range on a flat hole.
Yeah.
Or flat stance. So it's like, and considering those elements, maybe throwing your hips out a little bit more, sliding into it Trevino style to keep it lower, or hanging back like Curtis Strange to get a higher flight, or like Payne Stewart, like those movements aren't really part of Tiger, his package anymore.
Right.
With the fused lower back and the limited mobility on his right leg and his ankle and whatever else is going on. Like he just doesn't have those things anymore. And I would say, I'd venture to say that his game is more of a stock shot type of a game. Like this is the thing I have. I can move it left to right, but it's harder for me to flight it this way. And it's harder for me to flight it that way. And so I kind of have to find a ball that just kind of sits in the middle now. And maybe the X does that for him.
Okay, that can be it. It is a good ball.
Oh, yeah. You played it.
I played it.
Yeah. Oh, you still play it. Yeah.
I still play it.
Yeah. It's a great ball.
But yeah. And then another other release, I've obviously not been paying much attention, but they came out with the black SM9s. Yep. Which I don't know. Some people like the black. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I think the only benefit to the black wedges is that if you didn't want to pay extra for like a raw release, these are essentially raw. And and we'll do what the raw does. It's just golf club companies in general have a really hard time selling rusty things brand new at a store. And it kind of goes, think about it. It's not just the golfer that's buying, it's like the wife that might be buying, right? Yes.
She's definitely not going to buy that.
These look like garbage. And you ask the dude, and he's like, those are the best ones. What are you thinking?
So, you go in and look at it, and there's two wedges right next to each other. One's a raw, that's a little, that's got some rust on it. And then you got the tour satin right next to it. And one's 179 and one's 209.
Right.
And it's not the way that she'd be like, why is this? But yes. So it's
like you can get a good looking wedge now. It is black. It will wear off. You could dip it in Coke for like, I don't know, a half a day and that black will come right off. And so you can basically get your raw wedges from retail now, which is nice. You know, that's just the way it is. It's black.
Yeah, it's black. Yeah, not a big fan. But I think that's it. Like I said, we'll obviously talk about the Honda Classic, but it's not like piquing my interest. I'm like, oh, I'll go. I pulled it up and I was like, wait a second. There's not a strong feel.
The PGA Tour has actually communicated how they feel about these events. If you go to their website, click on schedule.
And you have elevated events.
Yeah, you're going to notice that they actually list the purse right on the front page of every tour stop. And the Honda Classic comes in at $8.4 million, which is not bad.
Which is what like the first three players made last week.
Yeah, it's really good. But there are marquee events, and those ones have $20 million purses. Yeah. And so this being not a marquee event, you know, not your Arnold Palmer, not your players, not your World Golf Championship. So you can kind of see where they said it. It'd be a, I don't want to say B level, but an A minus level tour stop. Right. So it's not an off event by any means. You know, it's not Puerto Rico.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not the opposite field.
But it's not
top notch either.
Yeah. It's just it's a minus.
Yeah. Well, since no golf for us. Indoor golf, which is probably better. I tweaked the elbow a little bit the other this last week. It's been in between where, like I said, it was bothering me a little bit, but I've been doing the ice baths every day And here in Utah, it was below freezing. So it gathered some ice. And a couple of days that it got, I went on a trip, came back, and saw it hadn't been used. So the ice had been allowed to grow. And I went to beat on some ice in it. Then the elbow did not like that.
Oh, no.
But it's getting better. So it's probably good that I can't get out there and get after it right now. But
you're just getting old like me.
I know.
I now, when I warm up to play or swing, I have to spend like 10 minutes warming up my shoulders just so I can actually swing a golf club.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Disclaimer. We're not doing a what's in the bag for Jom because.
Oh, yes.
We already did it twice.
Yeah. We've done nothing it twice within the last like month. So get over it. Keep playing the same stuff. Go back and listen to the Heather episodes and you will hear it.
You will
this
hear
is,
it.
This twice. Is more relevant. If, like I said, if I'm not going to do it right, we did him twice, 2 weeks in a row. I think we added in something on the second week just because we knew we were going to talk about much. That's probably what we're going to do. Jon Rahm wins again next week. We're talking about somebody else's equipment, probably.
Probably, so.
But other than that, I think that's it. So, again, thanks for listening. But until next time, we are out.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Birdies and Bogeys. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe, leave us a rating and review, and until next time, have a great week.